Those of you who are in the foyer, there's, if you want to come in, there's almost two rows up here that are open. I won't say anything important while you're coming in, and I won't say anything important once you sit down. Come on in. Don't be bashful. This isn't the easiest chapel in the world to find, so. And they didn't give us a key for the parking lot either, so some of you may be parking on the street a ways away. Come on in. Come on in. Come on, come on, come on. One thing I will mention, those of you who served in the Rome mission, regardless of your president, any of you that would like to wait just a minute after we dismiss, our mission group will be in the chapel, and we're going to sing the Rome mission hymn. And any of you that would like to stay and join with us, you're welcome to, and then go with your presence, and we have some copies of the words for you, so you don't have to worry about that. I'd like to share a lovely message from President Jensen, Daniel Jensen, who's the current president of the Rome Mission. He emailed me with some of the details of what's going on, and rather than me trying to summarize it, I'll just read it so you can get his perspective. In 2002, the Italy-Rome mission had 188 baptisms. I understand Milano had about 230. Faith, obedience, and lots of hard work. Someone also mentioned to me that the Milan mission, that may have been the highest number of baptisms in the Europe West area for 2002. So far in 2003, we have 31. We have some catching up to do, but we fully expect to do much better than last year, despite fewer missionaries, 170 currently versus 195 last July, and that's when Padova was split, and basically Tuscany joined the Rome mission, and the rest of the Padova mission went to the Milan mission. A building project has been approved for the Rome 2 branch of a stake center design. Now, that doesn't mean there's a stake yet, but I have the blueprints of what the standard plan looks like, and I'll put one of those up in the cultural hall, and then those from our mission, I'll have one in here for you to see. We were able to have district conference attendance consistently of about 600, and even though there wasn't a stake, that was enough to convince the area presidency to go to bat for us, and Elder Hillam did that, and so they'll be starting that project this summer. Some of you may have served in the city of Terni. Terni had a large number of missionaries out serving. They had as many as six at one time while we were there. And that faithfulness has paid off. They were able to purchase land just after we left. And construction on a chapel will commence this summer in Terni. They're looking for land in a number of cities, still in Naples. The government is still saying they're going to donate some land in Quarto Sant'Elena in Sardinia. They're waiting for government approvals in Firenze, President Jensen says. Their number of sisters has reduced from 34 to 24, and they've had to take a number of those out of cities. In October of last year, President Massimo De Feo, who I think, President, was one of your assistants, was released after 10 years as being the district president of Rome, and President Remo Sicardi was sustained as the new district president. President Antonio Sanna was sustained as the Sardinia district president, replacing President Giovanni Perra. Battipaglia, Castellammare di Stabia, Olbia, and Arezzo have young elders serving as branch presidents. Elder Fossati, Elder McKnight, Elder Udan, who's from Nice, France, and Elder Cascone, who's the son of the district president, I think, in Catania. Great missionaries. La Dispoli has a new senior couple, Elder and Sister Briggs, and they're from Arizona. Elder and Sister Chase from Pocatello, Idaho, have replaced Elder and Sister Ball in the mission office. Mission presidency is still President Jensen, President Lotito, and President Modugno. They haven't opened any other cities. They have pulled missionaries out of Lucca and Ascoli Piceno. They're 2 weeks into the new discussion approach, so we're just beginning. There have been a number of positive reports. And for those who were in our mission, they're having to modify the certified gospel teacher program a little bit to deal with that. Sister Rogai and Elder Edwards, as they left the mission, both achieved like unto Paul status. So, for those of you that know what that means. There have been some demonstrations with the world unrest, but no problems. The current assistants in the office are Elder Del Zotto, who comes from the Milan Mission area, and Elder Cardin, who's the youngest son of President Cardin, who was a mission president some years ago in Rome. So that was President Jensen's report. I know you all want to visit with each other and renew friendships and see your president, so I don't want to take a long time. I would like to just share a couple of things, somewhat along the lines of what President Rempel said. I do hope that each of you will go back through your journals and write some letters. Not just to the members, but to your contacts. And get those addresses out and send them to the mission offices. You think about how many friends you made and how few of them at that time joined the church. There's a great pool of good people. Many times individuals have to feel the Spirit and then be away from it to recognize what it was they felt the first time. And we'd encourage you to do that. We also have the great opportunity of listening to the brethren starting tomorrow. And I would hope that we would all follow their example, their words, when our missionaries would leave. I'd have an individual interview, but I'd also meet with them as a group and we'd have a little bit of fun. And I try to remind them that if I ever saw them with an earring, I'd yank it out. That was the elders, of course. But we can follow the brethren in how they act and how they dress and see what a great impact they have on the world because of their devotion to the Savior. And I hope we'll take that into account as this wonderful opportunity comes to us. Some of us served in Italy in times when the best you could hope for was getting a few of the conference talks in the Stella some months after they had been given. And now, at least, I know in our mission, there was a satellite receiver in Pescara. There were three in Rome. There was one in Sassari. There was one in Cagliari. There was one in Naples. And what a great blessing for the saints to be reinforced, to hear the words of the brethren. More translation is going on. The church, in an official way, is doing some things that will be forthcoming. More things with respect to websites and communication by electronic means, and all of that will just build the kingdom, as we all hope and pray. We get together once a year like this, and then maybe more frequently in smaller groups, and I'm sure you all do some reflecting. And as you reflect about the members, as you reflect about your mission experience, those of you especially that have come home recently, I hope you can take your mission experience and incorporate it into your lives. A mission shouldn't be isolated. It should be part of your life, your testimony, the hard work, the self-esteem that you build, the ability to overcome obstacles. If you think about what you went through, it's a real blessing to have served in Italy, and I hope you can see how the Lord has blessed you for that service. Now, some of the, most all of the missionaries that have served in our mission have heard this. I would imagine that this will be new to some of you. But I think we need to have the right kind of perspective, especially as we write notes to the members and give them encouragement. And it's probably wise to not try to market the church or be cheerleaders. It's just a whole lot easier when you're dealing with prophecy. And I'd like to read a few paragraphs from President Lorenzo Snow's biography and have us remember what the future of Italy is. This is part of a letter that President Snow wrote as an official document reporting on his mission to Italy. It was written to President Orson Hyde of the 12, and it's a very lengthy letter. I hadn't realized what a tremendous writer and scholar President Lorenzo Snow was. His writing style is just beautiful. But at the end of his letter, he goes into a very different mode, a prophetic mode and a reflective mode of one who's called and sustained as a prophet, seer, and revelator. And I'd like to read a part of this that is at the end of his letter to the president of the Quorum of the Twelve to remind us all what the future holds for Italy. O Italy, thou birthplace and burial ground of the proud Caesars, thou that swayed the scepter of this mundane creation, land of literature and arts, and once the center of the world's civilization, who shall tell all the greatness which breathes in the story of thy past? A land of flowers and fruitfulness of the vine, the olive and orange, all that blushes in beauty and charms with delicacy is spread o'er thy green fields or grows in thy empire garden. From the wave-swept shores of the Mediterranean to the base of the bleak alpine region, thy sunny plains lie spread like a fairy realm. Here reposes the dust of millions that were mighty in ages gone by and flooded the earth with the fame of their deeds. Here are the fields that have been crimsoned with the blood of royalty and have become the grave of dynasties, poets who sung the praise of nations and princes that wielded the scepter of power during many a crisis of the world's history are laid low beneath the dust of thy fields and vineyards. But is there not here save the tomb of the past, O Italy? Hath an eternal winter followed the summer of thy fame and frosted the flowers of thy genius and clouded the sunbeams of thy glory? No, the future of thy story shall outshine the past, and thy children shall yet be more renowned than in ages of old. Where triumphant warriors were stained with gore and princes reigned with the pomp of tyranny, the sure though tardy working of the gospel now weaves a fairer wreath and will wear a brighter crown. I see many around me with an eye that will one day glisten with delight at the tidings of eternal truth, many a countenance which will adorn the assemblies of the living God. There is yet the blood of heaven's nobility within the hearts of many amid thy sons and daughters. I hope we have the vision and the faith that President Rempel talked about, that Elder Hillam talked about, to see what's going to happen when there are millions of members of the church in Italy. When there's just not a smattering of stakes, but when there are 5 and 10 and 15 temples. And if we have that kind of faith, it will happen, even though we're distant. And we can strengthen the faith of those who yet live in that wonderful land. I bear my testimony that this is the Lord's work throughout the world. And even though we be individuals and families, not of any particular importance or known by very many others, every one of our prayers is heard. And a righteous life will bring righteous fruits. And not only will we receive peace in this life and eternal life in the world to come, but we can bring those same blessings to many others. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.